You'll recall in the dream that was given to Nebuchadnezzar, which he forgot. He was lying upon his bed thinking about the day when he no longer would be the king. And he was wondering about what was going to take place. Daniel had the same experiences too. And in the 7th chapter, we have another revelation, a series of visions given to Daniel, showing the things that are going to transpire. Now, if you keep in mind that the book of Daniel sets forth the times of the Gentiles, I think it'll help you considerably in the understanding of these visions. Now, the visions in chapter 7 correspond to the dream Nebuchadnezzar had, as recorded in the 2nd chapter. Nebuchadnezzar, in response to his unspoken query concerning the future, had a dream, and in this dream he saw a great image. The image had a head of gold, shoulders and breast of silver, belly and loins of brass, legs of iron, feet of iron and clay mixed. Daniel gave him the revelation given to him by God, in which he told him that he, Nebuchadnezzar, and the kingdom of Babylon are symbolized by the head of gold. Now, after you pass on, there's going to arise another kingdom inferior to your kingdom, symbolized by the shoulders and breast of silver. The country of the Medes and the Persians. After the Medes and the Persians have passed off the scene, another kingdom inferior to the Medes and the Persians will arise, characterized or symbolized by the belly and loins of brass. That's the kingdom of Greece, developed under Philip of Macedon and Alexander the Great. That, in turn, would be followed by a kingdom still inferior, symbolized by the two legs of iron, symbolizing the eastern and western division of the Roman Empire. And then the feet of iron and clay with 10 toes, symbolizing 10 kings that are to arise in the Roman Empire. Now, chapter 7, Daniel has several visions. But in Daniel's visions in chapter 7, he sees these kingdoms as wild, rapacious, fierce beasts. It has been thought by many, and I see no reason to disagree, that Nebuchadnezzar's dream represented man's concept of these kingdoms. Gold, silver, brass, iron, iron and clay. Whereas in Daniel's visions, in chapter 7, we have these same kingdoms as God sees them. Not the kingdoms of precious metals, but the kingdom of wild men, so to speak. Now in verses 1 through 6, we have these visions. We notice, first of all, these visions were given Daniel back in the first year of Belshazzar's reign. The first vision that he saw, recorded in verse 4, he saw a lion, had eagle's wings. He beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, made to stand upon his feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. In museums, there are to be found, carved in stone, these lions with eagles' wings. They were the watch dogs, so to speak, of empires. Even in Solomon's temple, there were these lions carved with eagle's wings, reportedly guarding the way into the treasury. Now, Daniel saw this representation of Babylon as a lion with eagle's wings until the feathers of the wings had been plucked, showing the loss of power, loss of authority. And then he saw this animal lifted up and made to stand on his feet, reminiscent of Belshazzar being given the heart of a beast, sent out into the field to eat grass like the oxen for 7 years. And there came a time when the beast heart that had been given to him was changed to a man, and he was made to stand on his feet like a man. So there we have God's representation of Nebuchadnezzar as the fierce beast, the lion. Nebuchadnezzar was responsible for the death of innumerable individuals. As the scripture says, whom he would he slew, whom he would he saved. Now in verse 5, we have a second vision. Another beast. A second, like to a bear, raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in its mouth. Between the teeth of it, and they said, thus under it arise, devour much flesh. That second empire, likened unto a bear, we have Russia today, characterized by the bear. England, the lion, the United States, the bald eagle, and on, athletic teams call themselves by the names of animals and some fowls. I haven't noticed any rabbits or chickens among the athletic teams. They're usually the hawks and the tigers and the bears and what have you. Here he sees the bear. Now the bear is described as rising up on one side. In the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, Persia was far stronger and greater in power than Media, and the position of the bear with one side higher than the other characterizes the Medes and the Persians. The three ribs in its mouth seem to characterize the three great divisions, the Medes, the Persians, and that took over the Babylonians. And the command to it was to arise and devour much flesh. And that the Medes and the Persians did. The sixth verse describes the next division that came to Daniel. And he saw another beast, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. When we come to the eighth chapter, we have far greater description of these kingdoms than we are given here. But Greece, as a successor of the Medes and the Persians under Alexander the Great, the rapidity and swiftness of the movements of Alexander the Great and his armies, instrumental in his conquering the world. The leopard, a fierce beast, but swifter than the heavier lion and tiger. The swiftness also denoted by the four wings on its back to aid it in its movement as they conquered the world. History records the fact that when Alexander the Great died, his kingdom was divided into four divisions, with each of his four generals being head of one of the four divisions. That's symbolized here by the four heads that the leopard has. Now he comes to another which has been difficult for some interpreters, but for some reason or other it hasn't disturbed me or worried me. There's so many don't see the Roman Empire in this next one. But living where we do, this side of Daniel's prophecy, we know that Babylon was succeeded by the Medes and Persians. They in turn succeeded by the Grecian Empire. They in turn succeeded by the Roman Empire. And we know that there have just been those four world empires. Four, no more, and no less. And so when we read of this in the seventh verse, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast. This is a nondescript beast, like none that man had ever seen. dreadful, terrible, strong exceedingly, had great iron teeth, did devour it and break in pieces and stamp the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. Horn, a symbol of authority and a symbol of power. The 10 horns symbolizing 10 kings. Now he sees a strange thing as he watches these 10 horns. Daniel is attracted to and intrigued by these 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things. Here's the appearance of the man of sin. Here's the appearance of one commonly referred to as the Antichrist. And as he makes his appearance, we find him speaking great things. We'll read later on chapter 11 about this individual and the great things that he speaks against the Lord and against his anointed. Now, Daniel watches. 10 kings, 3 of them are replaced by one that arises. And this one takes over. These 10 kings and 10 horns of great interest. We read about them in Revelation several occasions. They are of special interest today as we study the economy of England and look for the 10 nations that are forming that block over there. People wondering which is going to be the next one that joins and becomes a part of it. Now, Daniel watches, keeps his eye on that beast of Rome till the thrones were cast down and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like a fiery furnace, his wheels as burning fire. A fiery steam issued and came forth from before him. And 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, the books were opened. And I beheld, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. Concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. Now, Daniel watches the development of the times of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. The times of the Gentiles began with Nebuchadnezzar. You recall that God Almighty, dealing with the human race as a whole, saw the human race fail miserably. Because of that, he reached over into Ur of the Chaldees, chose one man, and he brought this one man out, took him into a country that he would show him later. The man's name was Abram, later became called or known as Abraham. And from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God created a new people and delivered unto them dominion over the earth. But they miserably failed the Lord. And then God turned to the Gentiles. And the times of the Gentiles began with Nebuchadnezzar, and they're still in force. And this, which I read from the 9th and 10th verses through there, have not yet come to pass, though Daniel saw them accomplished. God has that capacity. He can take one back in time and show them events as they take place. 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. He can take one into the future and show them events yet to come to pass. And that's what God has done here with Daniel. And Daniel watched and beheld, and he saw all the thrones. Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, the 10 kings on their thrones, symbolized by the 10 horns, the little horn. He beheld until all of those thrones were cast down. He beheld until the times of the Gentiles had come to an end. One of the great church conferences held in Jerusalem. One of the first ones, if not the first. We had James talking, and he said, "Men and brethren, Simeon or Simon Peter had declared how that God did for the first times visit the Gentiles. That was in the household of Cornelius. God, for the first time, with the message of salvation by grace, visited the Gentile, the house of Cornelius, to take out of them, out of the Gentiles, a people for his name. After this, I will return and build again the house of David, which has fallen down." So that we're living in the times of the Gentiles, which began with Nebuchadnezzar. Now when the Lord came and began to preach the gospel of the kingdom, it was only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The apostles and the 70 forbidden to go to the Gentiles, unto the Samaritans, unto those in Judah. Forbidden to go out to them. But with the experience in the household of Cornelius, there was a change. And unto the Gentiles was also granted repentance. And from Acts chapter 10 on, we have the order set forth in Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, or to the Gentile. So Daniel watches here until he sees the end of the times of the Gentiles. We forget that day is going to end. We think of the United States, we think of England, we think of France, Italy, we think of Russia. We think of these great Gentile powers. Daniel has seen them fall. Daniel saw the end of them. We put that far from us. I don't think I was ever impressed with the fact, like I was with the destruction of the Gentiles and the Gentile powers, as when it was our privilege to stand near the top of the Empire State Building and look over the city of New York and see what some call that jungle of brick and concrete. And standing there and looking out over it, I could in my mind's eye see the whole city reduced to nothing but dust. Nothing but dust. And it crumbled. Not only there, but all the cities of all the world. I saw it, all these thrones fell. I saw it, all of this thing was brought to nothing. Now let's look and see the chief cause of all of this. He sees another vision. Verse 13. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. Came to the Ancient of Days. They brought him near before him. The one like unto the Son of Man, the Lord God Himself, Jesus the Christ, the Ancient of Days, the Eternal God the Father. He seized him. There was given him dominion, glory, and a kingdom that all the people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. In the book of Revelation, we read that there's a time coming when the kingdom of this world, King James has the plural, but it's singular. All of the kingdoms of the world become one under the Antichrist. And there's coming a day when the kingdom of this world shall have become the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And here, Daniel sees that. What a preview is given unto Daniel. Now Daniel is concerned about the interpretation of these things. So we read in verse 15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body. And the visions of my head troubled me. I came near and the one that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me, made me know the interpretation of the things. Now, here's the interpretation given by God, so you can see we're not shut up to our own fancy or imagination as to this interpretation. These great beasts, which are four, are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. That's the message from God. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Those are the saints of the Most High who are going to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're going to possess the kingdom for an everlasting possession. Then I know the truth of the fourth beast, which is diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, his nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces, stamped the residue of his feet, and of the ten horns that were in his head. Now the other which came up, before whom three fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. There's a reference to the Old Testament saints as the Antichrist makes war against the children of Israel and prevails against them. I find nothing today more interesting than the course of events connecting or associated with the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel has been called God's timepiece. And as the watchman of the night cries out, "What of the hour? What time is it?" The advice is, look at Israel. Look at Israel. If Israel today is not approximating that time prophesied by Zechariah, when she's going to be a cup of trembling to all the nations of the world, a cup of trembling to all of the nations. Right today, it seems to me, the consensus of opinion of the leaders of the nations of the world, if you settle the Israeli problem, you've got the world's problems settled. But no man is going to settle Israel's problem. Only the Lord God Almighty. We need to keep in mind the words of God. He said concerning Israel, the first thing I always think of concerning Israel in God's plans and purposes is what God told Moses to tell Pharaoh when he sent Pharaoh to deliver the children of Israel from the bondage of Egypt. He said, "You go and tell Pharaoh, you let my son, my firstborn son, go." God adopted Israel as a nation as his firstborn son. Used to, when I was in the grade school and elementary school, and kids talking back and forth and sometimes fussing and scuffling, sometimes fighting, while there'd be trouble, and then some boy's father would come in, and then another boy's father would come in, and I've heard more than one father say, "You can't treat my boy that way. You can't treat my son that way." And when I look and read and hear about how these nations of the world are treating God's son, Israel, I remember what God has said. "He that toucheth you, Israel, toucheth the apple or the pupil of my eye." God said, "No weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper." God has said, "I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee." The epitaph on the tombstones of the nations of the world is simply this: risen and fallen because of their treatment of Israel. Now, the Antichrist is going to prevail against Israel for a while. God Almighty is going to bring Russia into the land of Israel. And God's going to destroy, exterminate 5/6 of the Russians. And the remaining 1/6 sent into the Siberian slave camps, which they have built for others. Let's look at this again. 21. "Until the ancient I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them." Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. The time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, "The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, shall devour the whole earth and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. It is our privilege to see the ruins of the Colosseum, where many and many and many a Christian died under the persecution of this fourth kingdom. They literally killed them by the tens of thousands. I'm not going into detail, but I read of one night of the entertainment in the amphitheater. People today think that with the vast stadium, Colosseums in which football and baseball played today, the electric lights, the great sport the people have. But I read of one night in the Colosseum, 800 Christians were tied and wired or chained to poles that were erected around the stadium. Their clothes saturated with oil. And when the time came for the games to start, at which time Christians set upon by the animals, devoured by them, we read of the wild bulls of Bashan, one favorite sport in the Colosseum was take two Christian girls, young ladies, tie them to the horns of wild bulls, and then turn those two bulls loose in the amphitheater to gore each other or attempt to gore each other to death, with those Christian girls being crushed between the charges. But when the time came for the games to start, those 800 Christians were lighted, and the burning of 800 live Christians furnished the light for the games. Look, as we read that 23rd verse again. The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. All the things that they've done and the things that they do. But the ten horns of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise. And another shall arise after them, shall be diverse. And he shall subdue three kings. He'll speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. Shall be given into, they shall be given into him for a time, times, and a half a time. The things he's going to speak against God. And we're already hearing God spoken against. It's almost a crime to talk about God, or to be seen with the Bible, or to talk about prayer anywhere except in the absolute privacy and secrecy of your own home. And it's just a question of time until they'll invade that privacy and secrecy. But this Antichrist is going to speak things against the Most High, and he's going to think to change the times and the laws. A lot of people got disturbed, and I don't know whether right or not, but it's something to think about. I knew a number of people got disturbed with daylight saving, somebody changing the time. That's not the time. God has set the time when the sun is a certain position directly over and above the earth. It's 12 o'clock. But man changes it, and he makes it 11 o'clock, and he makes it 1 o'clock or something else. Changing the times. And they shall be given in his hand the time, times, and the dividing of time, or half a time. That's a description of the time element of the tribulation. We have three expressions. We have 1,260 days divided by 30 days, which is the prophetic month, and that gives you 3.5 years. Or another expression is 42 months divided by 12. That gives you 3.5 years. The other expression is this one, a time, times, and a half a time. Now, in both the Hebrew and the Greek, time is singular, which means one. Times is dual. Now, both the Hebrew and Greek have three numbers, singular, dual, and plural. Singular is one, dual is two, plural is three or more. Now, this is singular, time. Times is dual, which is two, that makes 3.5 a time, makes a half or 3.5 years. So the time, times, and half a time, 1,260 days, or the 42 months, all point to a period of that time. Daniel has 1 week of 7 years left, which God's going to deal with the children of Israel as he did of old, that 7 year period. But in the midst of that 7 years, in the middle of that 7 years, 3.5 years after it begins, Satan is going to be cast out of heaven down to the earth. And seeing that his time is short, then begins what the Scripture calls the tribulation, the great one. And so here's a reference to that time. But the judgment shall sit. They shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and greatness of the kingdom under the whole heavens shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much trouble me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Daniel saw the Lord Jesus Christ and his saints with him coming in and taking over. And then the words of the writer of literature, they lived happily ever after. This is the end. This is the end. But we see the things that are to transpire. No wonder the Lord said, pray ye one for another. No wonder he said, watch, watch, for no man knoweth the day nor the hour. We're getting near the coming of the Lord. We're getting very near the coming of the Lord. I repeat again what I have said so often from this pulpit. The most surprised people on the face of the earth when the Lord returns, I believe, are going to be those who are looking for him. Looking for him tomorrow. Looking for him next week.
They're not